Bass fishing is hot right now. One of the hottest trails in the state is the Louisiana Tournament Trail, held right here in North Louisiana. This year, we took in lakes on the west side. Caddo and Bistineau have joined our roster. And today, we're going to talk with Craig and Taylor Cobb, who won the first 2024 event on Caney Lake in Jackson Parish this past weekend with a bag that was 22.01, not quite the Caney weight. And you're going to hear those guys' opinion on why that weight was a little down. However, the first year we have the guys from the West in, and it turns out the guys from the West brought in the big bass. Paul Clark and Matt Gorham brought in a 10.25, which is interesting because now they're sitting second. And we still have two lakes to go in the West. They're sitting second in the Anglers of the Year. Very interesting. Before we get the podcast started, let's talk about some sponsors. Discover Monroe West Monroe. If you're curious to know what's going on in and around North Louisiana, specifically Ouachita Parish around Monroe and West Monroe, check out discovermonroewestmonroe.com or check them out on their Facebook page. You'll find a lot of information. Second, if you're banking local, Marion State Bank is where you need to be. Trust me, been there for all my life, and I will not leave. They're good people. Third, the town of Farmerville. Thank you so much for the town of Farmerville for supporting Antlers and Hicks and supporting LakeDarboneLife.com. They have a lot to do on Lake Darbone. Town of Farmerville keeps things going. They have a page as well. Town of Farmerville has a web page. Go check them out. You can see what's going on in and around the town. Thanks to the Union Parish Tourism Commission for all that they do for LakeDarboneLife.com and Antlers and Hicks. And finally, Janet Fortenberry State Farm got in this year. She's like, hey, guy, I want to get in. And I want to do a little bit with you. So she's sponsoring some of this podcast as well as LakeDarboneLife.com. Let's go drag a bag of fish across the scales and talk to Craig and Taylor Cobb. All right. So we are talking with the first. Hey, you guys are the first Louisiana tournament team trail winners. How about that? Now, since we changed the name, you guys, the Cobb clan have won a tournament for the Louisiana Team Tournament Trail. How you guys doing, Craig and Taylor?
Yeah, really good. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad to get you guys here because it means you won. First off, I know you guys are happy to get that win under your belt from this past weekend, and we'll get to that here in just a second. But so the last time we talked to y'all, Craig, I think it was probably about this time last year. I think I talked with you in February of last year. So how did the rest of 2023 go for you guys?
We
had some through March was not great. It was not terrible. We cashed some checks through March and April, but not exceptional. Starting in May, through May, June, and the rest of the summer, and into the night tournaments especially, man, we had a really, really good summer. In the night tournaments, I think, was it the Watermelon Festival? I can't remember, which is a pretty big tournament. We won it, had 21 and a half, something like that. We had another five fish night tournament. We had 20-pound stringer, about 3 or 4 20-pound stringers at night last year, and won some, you know, Tuesday night, some Saturday night, some, you know, just, so it was a good summer. Early, we struggled a little bit. We cashed some checks. We saved some.
It seemed like early it was, you know, what it could have been. You know, we lose the key fish here. I mean, I can think of 3 or 4 tournaments off the top of my head where, you know, you're one bite away going into the last 2 hours. No, you need it. You get it. You don't land the fish. And it's, yeah, you know, That's part of it, but it really, whenever things are going that way, it's hard to turn it around.
Yeah, you know, it seems like to win a tournament, everything has to line up. You know, you can't miss fish. You got to fish clean as all get out, especially around here with guys like y'all and some of the other crew that we fish with. It can be a difficult task that to win something around here, baby. You really have to fish clean.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I've said it forever. You know, I'm a broken record about that. Fishermen around here are too good. You just can't make a lot of mistakes. They're going to make you pay for it.
And you're talking about everything going right. I think here, more than other places, you're not going to get many bites. You know, we fish pressured lakes. I don't think there's a ton of fish in our lakes. You know, there might be, it's all relative. So there might be a ton of fish for lakes around here, but if you go other places, you know, you might get 20, 30 bites a day. That's not always the case here. So, mm-hmm. you know, a good day for us is, I say a good day, great day for us is 10 bites. You know, that's really good. But normally it's going to be seven, you know, 5 to 7 bites, and you need to put them all on the boat. You know, especially with the better quality fish, that's normally what you're going to be shooting at. And everything's got to go just right whenever that happens.
You know, that's something that I really admire you guys for. You guys sit out there for 8 hours for these tournaments, right? Ain't that about how long? For 7 bites? I mean, come on, man. Golly.
Sometimes it seems like 2 or 3 hours to us. There are not enough hours of tournament time, and you were wishing you had 2 or 3 more hours to fish. Or like in this last tournament with the fog delay, we're sitting there just, you know, jumping a bit to go. And Taylor even said they backed up the weigh-in from 3 to 4, which, you know, and Taylor even said, I wish we would have backed it up another hour, you know, to 5. And you just, well, don't that
round. Caning for us more than anywhere else, you know, we're talking about those bites and the bites that we know we're going to get shrink. That's not our lake. It's really not. We don't tend to do well there. So I felt like going in that, you know, even with all day, if we land, you know, 5 bites, you know, I didn't know with the week off limits this time of year, a lot of stuff changes from weekend, and we didn't know what we were going to be faced with. But even then I felt like, you know, we sat there for 2 hours waiting to blast off, and they had an hour on. It's like, okay, now everything's pinched down even more than what it was before. So I felt like we were fortunate to capitalize, especially early Saturday, and get a couple bites right off the bat, really calm us down where we could get, just go fishing at that point.
Yeah. Now, see, you know, you and I talked, and, you know, folks, I talk with Taylor probably 2 or 3 times a week. We'll just, you know, shoot something back and forth on Snapchat and whatever. I asked you early in the week, I said, what do you think about this weekend? Your number one concern was weather, was the rain that came in. How is it going to change everything? And I think you were right. You know, I think that's what a lot of folks were kind of focusing on, was how's the weather going to, been warm, turns off cool, got a little rain. What's it going to do to them? Is it going to move them around and give them lockjaw? And I think it did.
Being such a, you know, Florida bass influenced lake, it affects them more there, seems like, than other places. You know, Clayburn, Darbone, those fish can seem to tolerate those cold fronts and weather changes better than caning fish do.
Well, mm-hmm. So the thing of caning, it seems like the fish are never really, they're just a tail flip away from deep water. You know, they can at Darbone, you know, fish seem to have to move across a flat that's 300 yards, or fish seem to have to do a little bit extra to get up out of the channels and out of the creeks to where they're going to go and spawn, or where they're going to be. So it's a big commitment. You know, once you get warm weather, those fish push up there. You get a cold front set in, they're not going to back all the way out. Well, those caning fish, it tends to be, you know, one day here and the next day gone. If you get any kind of weather that's not exactly, you know, perfect, then fish can back out and be back into feeding mode, you know, a lot easier than every other lake around here, really. And I knew going in that the weather was going to have some kind of effect, but I didn't know what kind of effect it was. I didn't know if it was going to be, you know, more of them moved up or back. I figured more of them would back out, but I didn't quite know what that was going to be. That's what I was telling you about.
Yeah. Technical difficulty. You know, one thing that surprised me is that y'all, you don't like caning. You struggle. I mean, y'all from West Monroe, I figured that was right in your back door. I'm like, man, they go there all the time.
Well, so really from about May on in the summertime, I like the rain weather there until about 10 in the morning when it turns into a wave pool. But in the, you know, with all the boat traffic. But the problem we have is caning early. Is we duck hunt, and you get 60 days of duck season. So every day we can hunt, we're going to hunt. And while these guys are going down there in this cold water and learning, you know, where they set up, how they set up, how they feed, presentations, and all these things, we're in a duck blind. So we haven't really invested the time in the cold water there to really have them, you know, be honed in on them. Mm-hmm. Now, with that being said, with every degree that the water temperature went up, gave us a little more of a puncher's chance. And the warmer the water was, the more chance we would have, because it's not such a winter pattern at that point. You have some fish in spring. And the other thing is that the fog delay probably helped us. I mean, I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
It helped us because I know a lot of those guys were looking forward to that early bite, sitting down on some big fish, and it kind of took that away from them. I mean, they had a little window of opportunity, but kind of like Taylor said earlier, that early morning window of opportunity, we cashed in on that too. We caught a 6.5 and a 5 pounder, 6.25 and a 5 pounder, you know, right there in the early bite when we still had clouds and fog. And so it probably helped us. And that's why we won, honestly, is the fog delay helped us a lot, and the water had warmed to the point that we were able to catch some that had moved into a spring pattern.
That the fog delay more or less leveled the playing field. Now it's our fault, because we don't, this time of year, you know, we're not fishing caney. It's not where we go. So, and that's our fault. That's not an indictment on anybody else when we say that. We're duck out there fishing, more power to them. But, you know, with the fog delay, you know, it kind of knocked everybody back. And I didn't know it was going to do that. We weren't excited we had a fog delay. Like I said, we were chomping at the bit to get out there, knowing that we needed all day to catch our fish. Before, we thought we needed all day to catch our fish.
Looking back, it helped, though. Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, we fished great. I mean, we made a great adjustment about 10 o'clock. I mean, really, really good. Now about 11 o'clock. Really, really good. And we had two fish at that point, I think, and caught a 3 and a 6.25, you know, back to back right after we made the adjustment. And, you know, hay was in the barn kind of at that point. We didn't know it, but so we fished well relative to the conditions we had. Mm-hmm. But I'm smart enough to know that it hurt some people. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. If we would have gotten the morning bite, see, what we caught was the tail end of the morning bite. We just happened to sit down in the right spot and get two bites right off the bat to kind of calm us down. But if you get that morning bite, and especially with the clouds and the fog, that prolongs that bite. So you get that bite all day long, or I say all day long. You get it 2 hours more than what you would have got it before. You would have seen probably 32 to 35 pounds weighed in by somebody. Now, I don't know who that would have been. But there's the names were out there to have done it.
But it probably wouldn't have been us.
It wouldn't have been us.
Yeah. Well, and that's what shocked me was the, you know, 2206 y'all had? I can't, it was 22 something. 2201 maybe.
Oh, 2201.
That surprised me coming off Caney this time of year. Because, you know, I mean, a month or two ago, it seemed like everybody who really could fish good was pulling 40 pounds off that lake.
Well, that's going to be a deal where you look at the weigh-in. If you're just on Facebook scrolling and don't know the situation, you're like, wow, you know, it's 50-something or 50 boats and it takes 22 pounds to win. You know, that lake must have sucked. If something must have gone on. Well, something did go on. It was the fog delay. It suppressed all those weights, every bit of them. You know, so that's...
The bite from 11:30 on when the sun got high and people started to struggle, and then the boat traffic picked up, which makes it even worse. And you know, it got a little tougher up in the day. If you didn't have a few of those good bites early, it was going to be hard.
We were excited at 11. I say it was 11 about noon. We had the little one. Yes, caught the little one about noon, or 1 pounder, and we were, you know, we ain't done. We're going to do it. You know, we're going to catch another one, another big one. And it just never happened. We sat on that 1 pounder all day long.
And waited in.
Yeah. And felt like that was going to cost us. We could have had a really nice bag and catch a 5 pounder. You know, catch a 5 pounder, you could have had, you know, a crazy good bag. But, you know, it just never happened. We were all upset being able to wait on the 1 pounder. It ended up working out anyway. But that just shows you how tough it got afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
The sun gets up. There's not much wind.
A lot of boat traffic.
It makes things tough, especially out there with the clear water. Puts them down pretty bad.
Yeah, I was really, you know, kind of shocked. But then again, like you'll say, with the fog, because early that morning, I had to be on Darbon. They had the crazy crappie cash thing, and I went out there to kind of give them a hand with some social media stuff. And I didn't know that y'all had a delay. You know, I did. I was, you know, I got done, and or I'd have probably spent some more time over there knowing you guys were going to be pushed back by, you know, a little bit. And so I'm sitting over here, and hey, I don't know how foggy it was on Caney because I wasn't here, but I was on Darbon. I don't see how some of those guys were running to come to that hourly weigh-in.
Even after it cleared and they let us go, and I was running out there, it was funny. I was going to go down the dam to where I could see the bank and go to the other side because I was worried running down the lake with those boats because you still couldn't see that well, and he actually talked me into going where we went. And thank goodness he did because that's what he called me.
I said, Just go 50. Just go 50, and I look around us. If something comes wrong, I'll let you know. But we don't have very far to go.
It was thick. I mean, it was you couldn't even see on the pocket where we launched.
Yeah. Man,
yeah.
It was not ideal conditions at all for rocking.
And on Darbon, they had a kayak tournament. And I'm like, man, if I was a kayak guy, I'd be hugging that bank so tight you couldn't put me. I'd almost be on the bank.
I'd have been in the tightest thicket around there.
I mean, up in them stumps because, man, yeah, and you could hear, man, you could hear the boat. And I'm like, man, no way. And I think it finally started getting to where you could see across probably around 9:30. It finally got up enough where you could see, you know, good across.
I heard that on the other end of Caney, when we were sitting in a fog delay, I heard that the other end of Caney was crystal clear about halfway up the lake, and that's where the fog hit. So I can't verify that. That's what I was told, that the other end was fine.
Yeah.
Just up there where we were.
Craig, let me ask you something real quick. I don't want to ask you because I know it's like a magician never reveals the secrets, but when it comes to baits, I went with this young man, Colby Dark. I had to write an article for Discover Monroe, West Monroe. And so, you know, I decided he had a big name at the time, you know, caught all those fish. I said, you know what, I know I can catch some fish. We'll take some good pictures. He'll be an interesting person because he's just a personality all his own. Craig, he was throwing a bait that I said, you seriously going to throw that? And he's like, yeah, it was so flipping big. Mm-hmm. Now, and hey, he caught on it, man. Do y'all fish those big glide baits like that?
He'll throw it. Taylor will throw one some. He got some from Chris Patton, who fished against us. And I mean, I guess a shameless plug here because Chris is buddy.
Hey, when it comes down to Patton, we're going to push him because he's a local boy. And I mean, he's got some good stuff.
He makes one of those big things. As a matter of fact, I was picking at Chris at the tournament. I'll tell you, it's Ditch Donkey Custom Baits, I think is his. And he paints the most beautiful big glide bait you've ever seen. And it's like this big. And I told him, I said, I was laughing at Taylor. Taylor actually threw it Saturday. Now, we were never really in a position to do that well with that. But I told Chris Patton, I said, it was like Taylor took a house shoe or a tennis shoe.
Flip-flop, yeah.
Hand grenade. when he would throw it, I was picking at Taylor because he would take that big heavy rod and sling this thing. And it looked like he was throwing a house shoe out there and it would slap the water. I'm not... You know, I think LiveScope created some of that. I don't. So, in answer to your question, do we throw them? Yeah, I mean, I'll throw anything. It's not like
I don't care.
Yeah, it's not like I'm scared to throw something like that. But to say that that's my confidence bank, no, it's not.
Yeah,
well, it's not mine either. It's not mine either. But when you throw all your confidence banks, what's it gonna hurt?
That's right. Throw something else out there. Throw the kitchen sink, I suppose.
They work. I mean, they do.
Yeah, they work.
They work, and when they hit them, they annihilate them. And I really would like to get better. That's one of those things that talking about duck hunting, you know, they throw those a lot in the cold water. And that's one of the things that if I didn't duck hunt like I did, I would try to get better with. Because it's a viable pattern. I mean, you saw the stringers. I mean, you saw what Colby caught, and a lot of those guys that know what they're doing with those things, and Chris, and he makes the prettiest one I've seen. They catch them. That's just not what I
think. I think the attraction with those baits, I mean, and honestly, everybody has seen what Ben Milliken is doing, you know, as far as the live scope and the glide thing. That's when it really exploded. But I think the attraction with those baits is it's not the norm. You know, you got all these baits that are this big and everybody's throwing them. Well, the fish have seen everything that you throw down there. And especially now with LiveScope, people are making, you know, casts at specific fish. You know, before we were throwing, and I don't know, you might make 20 casts and two of them get in front of a fish. I don't know what the ratio is for that. But now there's people throwing at specific fish every single cast. Well, to me, if I'm a fish, I'm saying that's too big to be a bait. I'm going to bite it, you know. You see what I'm saying? There's no way that's a bait. And I think that's a lot of the and they catch big fish. You know, it's got to be a big fish to eat it, but a better than average fish to bite that. I think that's a lot of the attraction to the glide baits. I'm not great. I've never really just worn them out on one, but I think that's the attraction to them. People who do mess with them a lot, you know, they'll beat you with them. We're not those people.
And, you know, when I went with him on Caney, we threw a drop shot and caught several fish, you know. Mm-hmm. And well, so, you know, there's still that opportunity. But like you said, that when you can find them out there with that sonar and you can target them and you want to target them with that. But he told me, he said, watch this. And he slung that big rascal out there. And, I mean, it was within five casts. He done brought in. I can't remember if it was right then when he brought in that 10-pound. But it was not too long after that.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what makes them. I mean, that's what eats them.
Yeah,
that's why people throw them. I just,
those guys are so good with those things, and they can tell by the fish's posture and how they respond. And we can do it some. It's not something that if we go into a tournament that I need to try to be exclusive with. Mm-hmm. But if I see a fish, I'll fish for him, and I've caught some fish and caught one or two, Saturday like that, but not on a big live bait. But I caught one or two fish Saturday that I actually saw, and I can do it. But I'm not what those guys are, and I'm smart enough to know that.
Yeah,
I need to abort the mission at some point and get back to the other kind of fishing if I'm going to be a threat.
Now this is a part of a podcast that I really like. Is we're talking about strengths, we're talking about weaknesses, we're talking about what you're confident in. A lot of people call forward facing sonar young man's game. Taylor, you're a young man. How does that make you feel? Do you feel like it's a young man's game, or is it an?
I feel like it's anybody's game, but who wants to take the time to learn.
Yeah.
If it were up to me and my strengths, it's made a lot of what I like to do easier because there's not as many people up there where I'm at. As there was before forward facing sonar, you know, there wasn't a lot of, I'm a lot like him. I'm a shallow water, you know, going to get in there and mix it type fisherman, if you will. I mean, that's what I like to do. I like to get up in the dirt. That's how I like to fish. A lot of those fish now are not the pressured fish anymore. They're not the fish that see everything. Now the fish that see everything are the fish that before didn't. It's the suspended fish that are on, you know, deep stump flats or around the creek, you know, creek channels and swings and different things like that that never saw a bait before because nobody knew how to target them. They were ghost fish, you know, they're fish that are just suspended in the middle of, so you have no way of targeting them before. Now that's probably the most pressured fish, or the fish that are suspended over, you know, 20 foot of water. And that's, I guess, in a way that has pulled a lot of people away from what I like to do out deeper. I don't have, you know, I fish with him, and usually when I'm fishing with him, we're practicing, you know, for a tournament or it's in a tournament, and I don't want to take the time to look at LiveScope all day. I feel like I'm wasting time. I'm wasting time. You chase fish around all day, your clock gets to turning. You look up and it's 11 o'clock, you don't have a fish, and you've been chasing fish around all day. It's not the fish that want to bite.
And I'll tell you this too. He's a young man, but he never was a big video game kid coming up. I mean, I'm not comparing LiveScope to, you know, I'm
video
not
being, games, yeah.
That's not a derogatory remark. I'm just saying that he was hand-to-hand combat, 2 feet of water fishing for fish, instead of playing video games back then. So he hasn't transitioned to looking at a screen while he's fishing.
Do I think the learning curve for young people There's less of a learning curve. Yes, I do. I think it's a whole lot easier for somebody who hasn't necessarily been rooted in, good old country bass fishing, and rooted in that as much as, your older people. For them to pick up and learn how to chase fish around and make them bite on live scope, do I think that it's easier for young people? Yes. But is it impossible for somebody who, is rooted, who has, come up flipping button willows that are this deep? It's not impossible. You just have to be able to go, have to be able to go out there and spend some time and do it. I do it, but I mean, I'm probably not going to put an entire tournament together that way. And I know I'm not. I don't really like as much time with it.
Yeah, see, so look, I'm between y'all, okay? My age is between y'all. And this is what I think. I'm starting to get that age. Now, I do a lot of deer hunting, right? Dude, when I was late 20s, early 30s, cuz, I'd sit out there all day long. I was hunting. I'd get off work and I'd run to the deer stand. I mean, I was in it to win it. This past year, I noticed, Craig, you've always heard this. I'm not that mad at him no more. I'm not that mad. Do you think it's that level of, I just don't have that intensity to get out there and learn it versus the I can't learn it, or is it the I don't have the drive to learn it?
Well, first of all, the first hurdle of live scope is being able to afford it.
Oh,
And not,
amen.
and not, not everybody can. That's just a fact of the matter. They're still so expensive now. And I get that. Listen, it is. I mean, it's a quite a financial commitment. But then it can be really frustrating. I mean, it can be maddening. For the people who this reaches that haven't dealt with it much and they think that it's the cheat code or something, it honestly isn't. It looks like that because the people you see making videos of it and the pros that you see that they put on TV doing it, that is the best of the best. Okay? They're the ones who have, I guess you'd say, cracked the code or whatever, but for every man, it can be one of the most frustrating things you have ever done on the water in your life.
Imagine being in the back of the boat while the man in the front's trying to do it.
I mean,
Absolutely. Yeah. You're throwing out the water that you don't even know where nothing is.
to see them, to know that they're there, to drop a bait over the top of them, they either run from it or they traipse behind it, and the faster you pull your bait, the faster they come, but they never actually make contact, and you just, It's my. You throw your bait, you can't find it on the deal. You're like, well, I'm throwing right in my, right in my deal. I should be able to see it, and you don't. And that all comes with practice. But listen, it takes a long time, and the frustration of it, that's a real deal. And when you're old like I am, and have spent so much time catching fish in certain ways, you very, very quickly get to the point you say, you know what, heck with this.
I know that's right.
I'm fixing to take 25-pound line and 1 ounce jig and knock them in the head, and I'm gonna catch you some fish, right? So we tend to bail on it. I think that older guys who have spent more time on the water, what I'm 50 now, so you're talking 45 years I've been chasing these stupid things. I mean, I've spent a lot of hours on the water, and I feel like I can go do something else and catch fish. And I tend to bail on it a little quicker than most, probably.
I still think the greatest skill that comes with live scope, and it's a skill, is knowing when to turn it off.
And
Knowing when that these aren't the fish that are going to bite. I've got to, and especially in this part of the world, there's a lot of fish out there offshore. There's always going to be, but there's still a lot of fish up shallow. I mean, our lakes are shallow. There's still going to be a lot of fish up there. And I feel like in our situation, we're more efficient in targeting those fish. And so when it comes down to it, that's the biggest deal, is knowing when you're running yourself in the ground, cut it off and just go fishing.
Hey, listen, here a prime example is like a bit. I can see him. But how long am I going to sit there and let him swim off the bed when that bait comes through there before I've got to go? I can't just, I mean, every time the bait gets in the bed, she eases off. I reel it in, she gets back on, I throw it back in there, get it on the bed, she eases off again. Well, how long am I going to sit there and do that?
Yeah.
You know, you get to the point where you feel like, look, I can go find another one. I can go, you know, and it's sort of the same thing. I mean, you're just, except for you're looking at them on the screen, there comes a point where for us and for me, I got to bail. You know, I can't just sit and do it all day. It's working fine, but.
And here's something else to come from that. If that fish is swimming off the bed for you, chances are the next chap that pulls up there and tries to sit there and fish for him is going to swim off the bed for him too. And you already know that. It's the same thing with live scope. Can't make them eat on live scope. Somebody's going to have to be way better than me to make them bite out there. You know, I'm already that far ahead. You know, I've already ruled it out in my head. This is what I'm doing. And I'm going to catch my fish. And that's just going to be what it is.
Yeah.
It's going to be what it is.
That's right. That's right. So let's transition and talk about the rest of the season with the Louisiana Team Trail. I want you guys to tell. I thought about this question. I mean, by the time we set up, I wanted to know. I thought about this. How much pressure were you feeling before caning, knowing we've got to go to the West, versus now that then you feel after a win? Now we're going to the West. Do you feel a little bit more comfortable knowing you've won $5,000? You know, are you still? How do you feel?
I'll tell you how much pressure I was feeling before. Because I wasn't even going to enter this circuit this year. I looked at the schedule. I said, man, Caney's the first tournament. Two tournaments in Shreveport on lakes we've never fished before. You know, we fished everything they had last year, and to the point that I didn't get to go to the hunting camp and, you know, dilly around up there and do the things I do up there. I told Taylor, I said, Taylor, we just can't do it all, son. I mean, we got to call something. Mm-hmm. And he literally, the night before the deadline, this is the truth. We were sitting right there in my living room. I'm in my kitchen. We were right there in the living room. And he said, are we fishing Louisiana teams? And I know now I realize that's kind of why he came over that night.
Yeah.
and he found the perfect spot. And my wife was sitting on the other sofa. And he said, are we fishing Louisiana teams? And I looked at her. And I said, if I'm fishing it, you need to put $600-whatever in the account. And I'll enter it tomorrow. And she said, well, it's up to you, you know.
And she didn't. She said, y'all go fish it.
Yeah, well, then she said, y'all go fish it. And he said, cool, we're entering tomorrow. That's when I made the decision to actually fish the circuit. So that tells you how much pressure I was feeling. I wasn't even going to fish this thing because of Caney, because of the trips out west.
And then on the ride home, I said, man, I've talked you into winning so much money.
You into winning.
He takes a lot of credit he doesn't deserve. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I tell you what, I'm glad to see you guys. There's a lot of folks that, you know, I know they would have fished it, but it's just going over to the West. That's a long haul, man. And if you go over there to practice, it's a long haul. And I know it's not for everybody. And I really appreciate, especially you guys getting, I love to see you guys, you know, you come across the scales and I'm glad to see you. So, you know, I'm glad you decided to get in. And hey, even you won the first one right off jumps. So now you can kind of Cadillac on the rest of them, huh?
No, ain't no Cadillac.
Yeah.
But honestly, we were more worried about Caney than Caddo and Vistano. We've never.
I don't know what to be scared of about Caddo and Vistano, and it's the kind of water I like. Caney, I knew what I couldn't do there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I feel like Caddo and Vistano, with any kind of time, with a day or two of practice, you know. We'll figure enough.
That's how we fish. That's what we used to.
Yeah,
so it's not like it's a foreign land.
Really, the issue with Cat and Bissano for us was the travel. because if you're going to be competitive, you're not going to put your boat in at Cat. What is it, 25,000 acres?
Yeah.
You're not going to put your boat in at Cat on tournament day, and. I've never put a bait in there and expect to do well.
We need at least two full days. I'm talking about daylight till dark days.
And it won't be. I mean, he'll be out there in his boat, and I'll be out there in another boat. You know, we'll go different ways, separate ways. It's just that's not a lake you can just do that at. So that was the big thing with us is the travel. That's the whole issue there. That was the hang up with Caddo and this and that. That's a drive. I mean, it really is a drive.
So for those listening, what makes you more confident with Caddo and Bistano? When you say your style, explain to us what you mean by your style.
lots of shallow, lots of visible cover, trees, grass, all that old man stuff that, you know, I grew up. I don't talk about him enough, but my dad, Charlie Cobb, he fished tournaments when I was a little boy growing up. I can remember going to his weigh-ins, and then I got a little older, and if he went fishing, I was there too. Mm-hmm. And he raised me fishing that kind of stuff. It's the kind of water we had. He was and is still probably the finest instinctive fisherman I ever saw. I mean, the things that he would want to say and do didn't make a lick of sense to me. Then he'd go do them and they'd work. It was unbelievable. He still, you know, he still talks to us today. Hey, don't forget this. Don't forget that. It's like, you know, he's got a point. He's one of the greatest I ever saw. And that's how he kind of raised us, is in the dirt and the grass and the trees and the stumps and the stick-ups. So when I get put in that situation, you know, where we have that kind of terrain, like Caddo and Bistano are, then I know how to approach that. I know how to approach it. I know how to break it down. I know how to be efficient, not waste time. That's like he's talking about in Caney, you get out there with Livestoke and you burn 3 hours and you hadn't made one fish bite. Well, what have you learned? You've learned absolutely nothing, except there are a lot of fish that you can't make eat. But in those lakes that are shallow with that kind of terrain, I know how to be efficient and maximize my time and kind of, you know, figure out what I can do to get bites.
Again, yeah. Like he just said, with a lot of the cover being visual, the process of elimination is a lot quicker. It's things, and that's the efficiency that he's talking about. Things seem to move faster than what it was if you were at Caney or something, throwing a fish on Livescope that you can't make bite. It's like, well, I know they're there. I got to make five of them bite. Well, they may never bite. But at Bistano or at Caddo, you can roll through stuff that looks good or a lot of the visual stuff. Okay, this is what I got my bites on. This is what, and you can pattern them out. And you know what to look for. And you can go around and do the same stuff in a bunch of different places. And hope that, you know, there's a chance that's all going to work out. And that's really what, you know, like I said, it's the efficiency thing for us on a lake like that. You know, you can just rule everything out so much faster.
Think about this. Think about going through a country buffet and mm-hmm. think about going to a buffet in a foreign land where you've never seen that food before.
Yeah, yeah.
You see, I mean, is that so this is the country buffet for us, man. I'm going to get the fried chicken. I'm going to get the mashed potatoes. You know what I mean? So this is something that we see and know how to deal with.
That's good.
But now, having said that, it's not just dead last, too.
But it's not just us. That's most people from this area. That don't have
that's right.
But man, they might be confident, too, but I'm confident. So, everybody's, you know, leveled out. And I do like the fact that we're going to a lake that not many people know much about. I like being able to break something down and go compete. That's just I do enjoy that.
Now, you guys have been around a little bit. Did you know any of the new guys from the west side that come over and fished with us, started fishing with us this year?
No. I may have heard a couple of names, but no, I don't really know. Because I didn't really go over there to fish anything. I mean, this championship 2 years ago, we went to the Red River. But mm-hmm. I don't think any of those guys were in it. I had fished some championships over on the Red River, but that's really about all the fishing I've done to the west of us. You know, everything's been east or north and some south, I guess.
That's what he said when I was on the – we got hit with the fog delay. You know, when it's dark, you can't tell who really anybody is. But we got hit with the fog delay. Sun comes up. It's bright enough, and we're looking around. And he said there's a lot of faces that I don't know.
I mean, I didn't know. Me too.
I don't know who they are.
But look, that's a big old lake with some big old fish. They may stick it to us over there.
I can't remember who it was, but when they walked off, he said, I can't wait to the next stop. And I mean, that's his place, man.
If I was him, I would be chomping at the bit. We can have all the confidence we want. You still got to go get it done. And,
that's right.
The fact of the matter is we're going to take a good 1-2 at it. But, hey, well, like I said, we could finish dead last. But I won't run out of ideas over there. I can tell you, I will have a little confidence most of the day.
And, hey, I tell you this, and I'm still learning some of the newer guys' names. I think the guy Paul Gorham was his name, and he had a partner. They got the big bass. This
that
past
big
year.
Bass tournament.
Yeah. 10.25. That was impressive. And it came from guys. Now I asked him, I said, are you familiar with this lake? And he was like, yeah, you know, we've been out here a little bit. So, you know, he knew where to go.
From the west, I guess. I mean,
I'm thinking they are going to be from that west side.
So there you go. They're in second angle of the year points going over to the west, right?
Yeah.
So they're sitting in perhaps a better spot than we are. You know, we're only ahead a point. So
it's a big deal. When you go to the lake that you don't know real well, mm-hmm. It's a big deal to be well there.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It always feels better knowing that you're coming back to your home like a little bit of momentum.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're sitting in a great spot. They got that lake out of the way and they're going back home. I mean, there'll be a force on
that if they're from there. I don't know. I'm
almost positive because, see, now you two, I didn't have to do this too, because I knew where y'all from. I want to know where everybody was from for the weigh-in. So I sent 150,000 Facebook messages asking guys where they're from. And I'm almost positive that they're from that western part of the state.
They sure had a good feed. And listen, that wasn't they finished, I think, second overall.
Second overall.
They did very well.
They set themselves up.
That's right. Well, guys,
man, listen, every team in that thing can win a tournament. They're all so good. They really are.
Mm-hmm.
They know so much, and I admire all of them. They're really good.
Yeah.
Whole group.
Yep. So we're winding it up, guys. Anything else y'all want to talk about?
Kind of looking forward to the next one now, probably more than I was before.
Yeah, after hearing this, I'm kind of excited about getting over there myself, taking a look at it and seeing what it can produce, man.
They tell me it's got some absolute giants in it. I haven't gone over there, but they tell me there's some giants in there, and I think the word I've heard two or three times is slugfest.
Okay.
I don't know if that bodes well for us or not, but they keep talking about it's going to be a slugfest and huge bags caught. I just hope we're one of them.
Well, you said a while ago you had a puncher's chance. Maybe you got a puncher's chance when you get over to that slugfest and get up there on stage and do something.
Well, hey, listen, like I say, as long as there are cypress trees around, I got confidence I can get a bite firmly.
That's good stuff.
Just hope it pans out.
Yes, sir. Well, hey, thank y'all for coming on, talking to me tonight. We went a little longer than I was expecting, but it was good conversation, and I appreciate y'all taking time.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes,
man,
sir.
Appreciate it. Look forward to the next one. Yeah,
yes, sir.
Hope we do this five more times. Hope we become a permanent installation.
Wouldn't that be the coolest thing? Like you win, you know, for at least the next couple. That'd be one in the next couple. That'd be pretty awesome.
Let's go ahead and plan that.
That's right. All right, guys. Thank y'all.
Thank you, guys.
All right.